Then come, let us settle our hearts and minds and listen to a word from Galatians. Before I get into this text, I want to let you know for the next two Sundays, I'm going to be preaching from Galatians, so I'll preach three sermons out of this. What I'm finding out is a very difficult book to understand. Another little note is that the last 2 weeks I've been teaching a Bible study on the letter to Galatians. You're welcome to attend this Thursday if you have time. And I realized that I don't know much about it. Somehow I missed that class in seminary about this book, and so it's been enlightening to me. And even after preaching three sermons, I'm not sure I will fully comprehend Paul's logic. It's a bit opaque. It's that kind of book that you read very slowly, and then you go back and reread what you read several times. Almost like listening to a religious scholar giving a kind of a lecture on the difference between Judaic laws and God's grace. So it's a difficult book. And yet, the reason I'm preaching on this text is because I'm realizing something. I'm realizing that we live in a world where someone can take a truck and drive down a bike path and kill people because they adhere to a certain set of beliefs. And we live in a world where people can put on polo shirts and hold up torches in a public park and shout epithets and racist comments. We live in a world where it seems that personal ideologies get in the way of the truth and facts and empathy and reason. Because of that, I think maybe Galatians is the book we should be studying together. Because Paul writes this community in Galatia to ask them what they believe. Listen to this text. It's Galatians 1. I'm going to read verses 6 and 7, and then chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. And I'll be reading from the Common English Bible translation. Paul writes, "I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ to follow another gospel. It's not really another gospel, but certain people are confusing you, and they want to change the gospel of Christ. You irrational Galatians, you foolish Galatians," he writes, "who put a spell on you? Jesus Christ was put on display as crucified before your eyes. I just want to know this from you. Did you receive the Spirit by doing works of the law, or by believing what you heard? Are you so irrational? After you started with the Spirit, are you now finishing up with your own human effort? Did you experience so much for nothing? I wonder if it really was for nothing. So does the one providing you with the Spirit and working miracles among you do this by you doing the works of the law, or by you believing in what you heard? Understand that in the same way that Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, those who believe are children of Abraham. But when it saw ahead of time that God would make the Gentiles righteous on the basis of faith, Scripture preached the gospel in advance to Abraham, 'All the Gentiles will be blessed in you.' Therefore, those who believe are blessed together with Abraham who believed." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, we hear in this text so many pieces of logic that maybe they don't quite add up. We hear Abraham's name, that all Gentiles are saved through Abraham. We hear Paul admonishing the Galatians, calling them irrational. We need your Spirit for clarity. We need some understanding of what Paul was going through and what he as a pastor wanted to communicate to his congregation so far away from him. Send your Holy Spirit. Open our eyes and ears to this important text for our times. And let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts here be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Who put a spell on you? I had to use it as my sermon title. It was just too tempting. Who put a spell on you? Especially right after Halloween, right? Who wooed you away? Who lured you away from what I taught you so many years ago? Where did that lesson on accepting one another as brothers and sisters in Christ go? Did you just throw that out with the trash? Where did that lesson on fairness and treating other people as you want to be treated go? Have you forgotten that lesson, Galatians, or are you just ignoring me? When I was with you, I taught you about God's unconditional love, God's unconditional grace for you, but seemingly now you've turned your back on me, and you've turned God into something that just isn't true. And who are these other teachers? These teachers that are teaching in my place and telling you that somehow you have to work your way into heaven. What happened to grace? What happened to trusting in God's grace and faith? You irrational, foolish brothers and sisters, who put a spell on you? In essence, all those questions and all those affronts in what I just said are what Paul is trying to say to the people of Galatia. Like a parent who watches his or her five-year-old kind of step out onto the freeway, I think Paul is angry. He's saying, don't go out there, you're going to get killed. He tells with all his parental love and care for his child, that congregation up in Galatia, he says, don't go out there. Don't step into that religious mire of cross-teaching, something I didn't teach you. Come back to the curb. Come back and be with me. After spending time with them, after being their founding pastor and preaching sermons on Christ Jesus for so long, and telling them what it means to be a community of faith, Paul wants to know why people he loves have chosen to step away from him. And most paramount to Paul is his wondering why they're listening to other people. You know, you can almost hear the exasperation in his voice. Set aside some of the logic of that text. You can get a feel for what he's going through. He says this in chapter 3, verse 4. Did you experience so much for nothing? All that time I spent with you, did all that experience go to waste? And then he writes, I wonder if it really was for nothing. Who put a spell on you? This morning I want you to take a moment to remember a person who taught you a valuable lesson. Think of that person, that saint in your past, who patiently attempted to share something with you, something important about life, about death, about work, about relationships, about which road to take and which road to avoid, about what to believe and not to believe. Think of that person. Think about maybe how you should have listened to that person and you didn't. Along the way, someone must have said to us something like this: don't believe everything you hear. There are always three sides to a story: yours, theirs, and the truth. Right? Someone must have said that to you. We learn compassion from a grandmother, responsibility from a father, how to navigate our college years from a professor or a friend. My mother taught me to shoot free throws in our driveway in front of our house. My brother taught me how to swim to the deep end of the pool. I still remember him swimming by my side all the way, I think I was 8 or 9 years old, all the way to the end. And while I sat in his lap, my grandfather Swan taught me the finer points of playing pinochle. Somewhere in our past, a teacher, a grandparent, a preacher, a friend, a spouse, a family member gave us a gift, a little piece of wisdom, and it is called grace. Have you forgotten? Paul shouts from the page to the people in Galatia.
Have you forgotten the lessons I taught you? He says at the near the end of that text, have you forgotten the lesson of Abraham? It's an interesting question there. If you know your Old Testament, you know that Abraham can be found in Genesis, the book of Genesis. And if you study the character of Abraham, you discover that Abraham receives God's grace by sheer luck. He's just there at the right time, at the right place. There's nothing Abraham can do wrong. He just receives God's grace and favor. Listen to Genesis 12, 1-3. The Lord said to Abram, leave your land, your family, and your father's household for the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation and will bless you. I will make your name respected and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and those who curse you I will curse. And all the families of the earth will be blessed because of you. It's just seemingly in that text, God takes Abraham in his lap and he teaches him the finer points of grace. And the big surprise is there are no finer points to grace. Grace is God's broad and big and glorious love for all of us. It's the same lesson Paul was trying to communicate to that church in Galatia. That wherever they went, God would be with them and they would be a blessing. And so he says to them, who put a spell on you to teach you otherwise? Who told you that grace, God's unconditional love and grace, is for you? Who told you otherwise? In her book, Waking Up White, author Debbie Irving recalls the stories her family used to tell her about a forebearer, a distant relative named Lydia Trask Putnam. Lydia was born in 1805, and Debbie Irving sees her as her hero. The story goes that Lydia Trask Putnam, back in 1805, hacked her way through the Maine wilderness, pushed through timber and brush. She was a pioneer midwife, and so when a mother was in the throes of labor, she would mount on horseback and ride to the rescue. In her family, Debbie Irving talks about Lydia as a person who rode. They talk about this horse quite a bit. This horse could jump over any stream or any felled tree. This is one of Debbie Irving's greatest heroes. And yet she also admits that maybe the story has been misconstrued a little bit along the way. It's incomplete. It's inaccurate. It's misremembered. It's flawed. And yet the imprint of this ancestor remains on Debbie Irving. She writes this, believing I have the blood of this pioneering woman in my veins has served as a building block in my identity formation. And today, even if all or part of the story were disproved or somehow called into question, this fact would remain. The story is a part of what made me today. Like removing the wooden forms from poured and hardened concrete, the shape remains even when what shaped it is removed. Like removing those wooden forms from poured and hardened concrete, the shape remains even when what shaped it is removed. That's it. That's what Paul was trying to tell the people in Galatia. That though he physically wasn't there, and he could not be there, the shape of his ministry remained. Even though he could no longer be with the church in Galatia, what shaped them, the lessons he taught them, were somehow there, but he's disappointed that they're not paying attention. Let me ask us a question. On this day, a day we remember the saints of the past in our lives, our grandparents, husbands, wives, loved ones, teachers, what part of that person has remained for you? What lessons did that person teach you that continue to shape and mold you? What did they teach you? I remember over 30 years ago, when Heather and I were planning our wedding together, that I was somehow convinced I needed to invite my fifth grade teacher to the ceremony. I didn't know where she lived or anything. Her name was Mrs. Hosford. I don't know, remember her first name. Forever she'll be Mrs. Hosford to me. Just Mrs. Hosford. We found her address, invited her to the wedding. Hadn't seen her in years. I don't know why. There's just something about her. Something about Mrs. Hosford that left an imprint on me in the fifth grade. I remember one time I sang a solo for the class. Probably Mrs. Hosford encouraged me to sing that solo. Something about her. Something has left an impression on me from that teacher. And so on our wedding day, when Mrs. Hosford congratulated me, she looked just the same in my mind. Who has left an impression on you? Who has taught you a life lesson? Maybe you forgot along the way. How did they shape your life? Who taught you? Let us remember the people, those people who nurtured us and cared for us and taught us. Remember. Remember.